Grammar Girl here. My new book, 101 Troublesome Words You'll Master in No Time, is officially on sale. And today, I'm going to share two more entries from the book to entice you to buy the whole thing. But first, this podcast is sponsored by Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher's an app you use to listen to podcasts. It's fast, free, and easy. Once you've downloaded the app to your phone or tablet, you select your favorite shows, and the new episodes are waiting for you whenever you open the app. And if you go to stitcher.com/GG and sign up using the promo code GG, it'll automatically make Grammar Girl one of your favorites, and you'll have a chance to win a cash prize. And you'll get a link to the app. Stitcher is really convenient. It's how I listen to podcasts these days. So go to stitcher.com/GG and sign up using the promo code GG. And now, two tips from my new book. The first is about the word dilemma. The DI prefix in dilemma means two or double, which lends support to the idea that dilemma should be used only to describe a choice between two alternatives. The Associated Press style book and Garner's Modern American usage not only support that limitation, but go further, saying that dilemma should be used only for a choice between two unpleasant options. Nevertheless, Garner also notes that other uses are ubiquitous. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of English Usage and the Columbia Style Guide to Standard American Usage say it's fine to use dilemma to describe any serious predicament. And the American Heritage Guide to Contemporary Usage and Style takes an intermediate position. The whole thing is troublesome. So what should you do? Is it a dilemma? Unless you're writing for a publication that requires you to follow a style guide that limits dilemma to a choice between two bad options, it's not wrong to use dilemma to describe a difficult problem, even when alternatives aren't involved, or to use dilemma to describe a difficult choice between pleasant options. Still, you'll seem most clever when you use dilemma to describe a choice between two bad options. In other instances, before using dilemma, ask yourself if another word, such as problem, would work better. And here's a quick and dirty tip. To remember that dilemma is best used for a choice between two things, think of the idiom, on the horns of a dilemma, and picture the mascot of the University of Texas, that longhorn steer with two big horns, the horns of a dilemma. Also, a cursory search of the internet reveals that a lot of people are confounded by the spelling of dilemma. Many were taught to spell it wrong. In fact, I was taught in school to spell it with an N, and when I got older and checked a dictionary, I was shocked to find that the word is spelled dilemma with two M's, D-I-L-E-M-M-A. Further, the only correct spelling is dilemma with two M's. It's not as if the spelling with the N is a substandard variant or a regional spelling. Dictionaries often note alternative spellings and sometimes even non-standard spellings, but dilemma with an N doesn't even show up that way. As far as I can tell, nobody knows why so many teachers got it wrong. It's possible that a textbook typo is to blame. And the second tip from my book is about the phrase gone missing. Gone missing is a Britishism that's made its way into the U.S., where reporters use it mostly to describe missing persons. Although journalists and newscasters seem to love gone missing, it's easy to find vocal readers and viewers who hate it. Haters argue that a person must go to a location, and missing isn't a place, and that an inanimate object can't go missing because it can't take action alone. But English has never been so literal. In a tight labor market, jobs can go begging, for example, be unfilled, even though begging is not a location and jobs can't take action. Other peevers suggest that gone missing necessitates an action on the part of the person or item that's vanished. But again, we have parallels that undermine the argument. Milk goes bad, for example, without taking any action on its own. Gone missing is not wrong. The Oxford English Dictionary places it in the same category as the phrase go native, as in, we had high hopes for our new senator, but after he was in Washington a few months, he went native, meaning he adopted the same habits and attitudes as people who've been there a long time. So what should you do? Well, if gone missing bothers you, use a word such as disappeared in your own writing. You can criticize gone missing as annoying, if you like, but not as incorrect. If you're writing for a newspaper or TV show, though, be aware that gone missing annoys part of your audience. You should probably think twice before using it. Those tips were both from my new book, 101 Troublesome Words You'll Master in No Time. Some of the other words and phrases I cover are begs the question, done versus finished, myriad, grow, for example, is it okay to say grow the economy, and a pair of twins, is that two people or four people? Get your copy today at an online or local bookstore. And if you like it, please leave a review. Those help a lot. Finally, give Stitcher a try for listening to podcasts on your phone. It's free, and you can go to stitcher.com/GG and use the promo code GG for a chance to win a nice cash prize. That's all. Thanks for listening.